Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Have you ever wondered why there's evil and suffering in the world? As believers, we know that God not only exists, but that He is sovereign, righteous, and infinitely good. The most difficult question facing Christians is, how can a good God and evil coexist? To discuss this and related issues, Hank welcomes William A. Dembski to the broadcast. Dr. Dembski is research professor in philosophy at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. A mathematician and philosopher, he is also a senior fellow with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to pose a question as we open the broadcast today, and this is the first of four very significant broadcasts that we're going to do this month, one every Tuesday, as we finish the month of July. But here's the question. How could God let this happen? Just this last week, I found out that my literary agent has a tumor in the right frontal lobe of his brain. It requires emergency surgery. Just this past weekend, I went with six of my 12 kids to see Soul Surfer. And there you see a girl who loses her arm to a random shark attack, and her whole world goes topsy-turvy. I think of the death of our precious baby Grace, or the death of one of my grandchildren, Micah, of SIDS. No matter how strong our faith, I know we've all asked the question, how could God let this happen? Just this spring, we felt the apparent injustice as one region of our country suffered drastic floods, while another was devastated by drought. We understand when our own sin or someone else's sin brings us painful consequences, but why would a good, loving God let the natural world be so cruel? And perhaps when you ask yourself that question, you even feel a bit ashamed. After all, isn't that the rallying cry of atheists? Haven't people like Richard Dawkins made a career out of accusing God of brutality because of the suffering of the apparently innocent? But it's the right question. In fact, I would say it's the right question right now. It's the right question for everyone listening to my voice right now to ask. Because only when we grapple with the question of how a good God could allow evil and suffering in our world can we fully come to grips with the seriousness of our own sin and I think this is even more important, the true extent of Christ's redemptive sacrifice. And only then are we fully prepared to share our faith in this sin-sick world. And again, that is why I am so delighted that William Dembski has written a book titled The End of Christianity. A lot of you recognize his name. He's a groundbreaking scientist in the intelligent design movement. He's a ruthlessly honest explorer of science, of theology, of the presuppositions we bring to both of them. And in this book, he shines a new light on the origins of evil. And I think his insights will provide for you a brilliant star that illuminates the opening chapters of the Bible. And so I want everyone listening to my voice to read this book. And although it's a hardcover book, a book that retails for $22.99, I've asked our CRI team to find a way to make it our thank you gift this month. I mean, that's a big step of faith for our organization, particularly in light of the fact that last month we were trying to overcome a $350,000 shortfall, a shortfall over and above our regular giving. And the good news is we've made up a good majority of that. We still have about $90,000 to go, and hopefully a lot of you will be generous. But I wanted to take this step of faith because I believe in this book. I believe in this book because it solves a tension that has been ongoing in the Christian world. On the one hand, the weight of a long-held interpretation of Genesis that sees it as teaching a recent creation. On the other hand, the weight of contemporary science, which seems to strongly confirm an old earth, an old universe. And we must not commit either scientific heresy nor scriptural heresy. And I do believe with all my heart, as William Dembski does, that the fall is responsible for all evil. And we're not going to soft pedal the notion that parasitism and cruel animal death prior to the fall is very good. It's not. And the book takes the tension and alleviates it so that we can be consistent with God's revelation of himself to us in both science and scripture. God is the God of all truth. We are called to see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature in everything that he has made. And we are called to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth as well. And again, that's why this book is so important to me that I've taken a step of faith to put it in your hands. For your gift this month, I'll send you The End of Christianity. And again, please be generous. Some of you cannot give much. Others can make up the shortfall. But this is a book I not only want you to read, but it is a book that I want you to place in the hands of other people. It's an important book. In fact, it's so important that I asked William Dembski to write an article for the Journal, which is coming in the upcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal. It also is a significant complement to the book. It's titled Old Earth Creationism and the Fall. Together, I'll put these resources into your hands for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Again, this is a resource that will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And I think so highly of this book that I actually did an endorsement for it. On the back cover of the book, I say, this book, these insights may well prove to be, well, a Copernican breakthrough. And I'm not alone. J.P. Moreland, who is a distinguished professor of philosophy at Biola, says this, happily there are many good books being written today, but it is rare indeed to find a book that towers above the others. Dembski's The End of Christianity is such a book. It's interesting, it's well written, I couldn't put it down. But more importantly, I've read very few books with its depth of insight, its breadth of scholarly interaction, and its significance. From now on, no one who is working on a Christian treatment of the problem of evil can afford to neglect this book. My friend Chuck Colson said this about the book. Inevitably, it is the pernicious problem of pain and evil that atheists, that agnostics, refer to as an excuse for not believing in God, and Dembski now clears away this stumbling block. He offers readers an original way of dealing with the problem that fits with an orthodox view of God's good creation and fits with scientific facts. Well, that's a long setup, but it's important. I want you to understand the full significance of what I'm putting into your hands, of what William Dembski has produced. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also just pick up the phone and talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. William Dembski, author of the book, now joins me right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Dr. Dembski, it's always good to have you.
Good to be with you again.
I love this book. This book has solved a tension that's ongoing in the Christian world that starts at the very beginning with a problem we all struggle with, and that is the problem of evil and suffering. And I want you at the beginning of this broadcast to affirm what you believe with respect to the fall.
Well, I believe the fall is a fall of two original human beings that God specially created. So I have no problem with that. That's entirely traditional. The problem that arose for me and in writing the book and why I wrote it is that as an old earth creationist, we have a long history of suffering, death, predation in the animal world, in nature, that then precedes the arrival of human beings. And how do you then make sense of evil in the world coming as a result of the fall? It's a temporal problem, if you will. You know, usually with causes precede effects. But if humans and their sin is the reason or the cause of the evil in the world, the natural evil as well as the personal and moral evil, how do we account for that? And so that was really the problem that confronted me. I think if you're a young Earth creationist, it's not really a problem because you have a world that's created totally perfect, humanity sins, and then things go haywire. But as if you're trying to bring the scriptures, a traditional view of the fall, and contemporary science, which seems to teach and show, the evidence seems to show that the Earth and the universe is much older than 6 or 10,000 years, then how do you do it? And so that was really the problem.
Do you feel in some way that you're now using science to trump the Bible? A lot of people would say if you buy into an old earth, you're basically letting the scientific data trump the scriptural text.
Well, that is, I think, has been a worry that's been widely expressed. In fact, you know, I teach at a very conservative seminary, and it seems that every month now my good president has to write a letter defending why I'm even at the seminary for holding an old earth. But I think that, as you said, I think that the real issue is that God is the God of truth, and it seems that he has revealed himself both in nature and in Scripture. And in fact, the Scripture speaks to that, Romans 1:20, that God's attributes are clearly visible from the things that he has made. And indeed, I don't think you can just say, well, there's the, you know, the Bible trumps nature or science trumps the Bible. I think we need both, and they work together. I mean, how can we even understand certain aspects of Scripture if we don't know certain things about nature? What does it mean to say that Jesus is the Lamb of God if we know nothing about lambs, about sheep, about, you know, farming? It seems that our knowledge of the world, our knowledge of science, does inform our knowledge of Scripture, and our knowledge of Scripture needs to be a two-way street. There are scientific claims that are made which are quite outrageous on scriptural grounds, to say that the universe, for instance, is eternal. You know, that's something that Christian apologists have resisted from the get-go. I mean, something that Scripture clearly teaches is something that impacts science. So, you know, I'm not one for saying it's just a one-way street. I mean, this is something that actually drove me up the wall when I was in seminary, that when I would take faith science courses, it always seemed that science did trump Scripture. But it seems to me that there is an interaction between them, and we have to give both their due. And so that's what motivates me in this.
Talking to William Dembski, he is the author of The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. It is such a significant resource that I want to put it in your hands for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute this month. It's a hardback, beautiful book, the content of which is indispensable. It is something that you need. It is something that will equip you. It is something that will help you make sense of the world in which you live. But most of all, it will equip you to always be ready to give an answer and to use that answer to reach rather than repel as a springboard, an opportunity to share the truth, the love, the grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. The End of Christianity, available on the World Wide Web for your gift. We'll also send out the article that'll appear in the upcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall. I'm going to be right back with William Dembski. On the other side of the break, we'll be answering some of your questions, and I'll continue this very significant interview. So please, don't touch that dial.
Theodicy, the defense of God's goodness and omnipotence in view of the existence of evil, is a problem many theologians and philosophers have undertaken to solve. Dr. William Dembski offers a fresh look at the problem of evil in his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month, we'd like to send you The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back in a few moments.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfe's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today.
Again, the address is equip.org. The problem of evil has been a nagging dilemma for Christianity since the beginning. Today, popular atheists like Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and others use it as a way of discrediting Christianity and eliminating the God of the Bible. William Dembski's book, The End of Christianity, embraces the challenge to formulate a theodicy that is both faithful to Christian orthodoxy and credible to the new mental environment. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World by William Dembski. Order toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I am pleased to host William Dembski. He's the author of The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. It is a book that I want to put into your hands this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast that this is a hardback book again. It's a $22.99 book, but I want to put it into your hands as my way of saying thank you for your gift, your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute this month. William Dembski, again, is a leader in the intelligent design movement. He is someone who takes very seriously the Word of God. He's a biblical inerrantist. He is a person who also believes very strongly that God has two books. In fact, that is one of the chapter titles in The End of Christianity. And for a lot of people, Bill, that is a conflicting idea, that God could have two books, because all their lives they've heard that God has one book, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So they become quickly unnerved when they hear the notion that God has two books, but he really does have two books, doesn't he?
Well, I think so. I'm not sure how far back that usage goes with two books, the book of nature, the book of scripture, but certainly the idea of general revelation, special revelation, I think we find it in Scripture itself. In the earlier portion of this broadcast, I cited Romans 1:20, and that passage in Romans does talk about nature revealing things about God. You know, and so God, I mean, what is, you know, these books of God are books that reveal things about God. Now, the thing is, when we look at nature, it doesn't tell us about the cross, it doesn't tell us about Christ, it doesn't tell us about salvation history, but it still tells us something about the grandeur of God, about the intelligence of God, a God that could create a world like this that obeys certain scientific principles, that where you see the exquisite organization, intricacy, nanotechnology inside cells. I mean, all of this speaks to the wonderful intelligence of the Creator. And so it seems that nature does speak to God, does reveal things about God, and Scripture certainly reveals things about God. And they tend to focus, I think if you want to look at nature, it's more natural histories. Scripture, it's salvation history. But those need to be brought into consonance. There's got to be some sort of fit between them. And I think what has happened with the rise of science in the last 200-300 years is that it's become more difficult to try to make them fit well. And what I think tends to happen, is that people tend to reject one book or the other. You know, and that's the easy way out. You know, I mean, so you can be a scientific materialist. Well, we're just going to go with whatever the science says. And some of the science gets things very wrong. In my view, evolutionary theory, Darwinian evolution, is completely out to lunch. And I think there's good evidence for thinking that it is very flawed. And yet, if you take a materialist worldview, there's really no other choice. We have to come about by an evolutionary process, and so the scripture gets trumped there. But you know, I think you can play it the other way. You can take certain well-worn interpretations of scripture and then use that to exclude any further scientific knowledge. And so I'm trying to bring them into some sort of honest conversation, all the while certainly acknowledging the preeminence of Scripture in when it comes to salvation, not undercutting Scripture's truthfulness insofar as it speaks to scientific topics. I mean, I think actually I'm supposed to write an essay on this for a book coming up, and I think the Scripture, I don't take the view. I mean, there's kind of a dodge which says, well, the Scripture is right when it comes to faith and morals, but when it comes to history and science, you know, well, then it's problematic. I don't take that view. I think insofar as it speaks to scientific matters, I think it gets things right. But then there's still the question of what is the science saying, what is the Scripture saying, what is it actually teaching, and then bringing them, you know, into some sort of meaningful fit. And that's, I think, that takes some work. I don't think there's just a simple answer.
It's a matter of reading the Bible for all it's worth and reading the book of nature for all it's worth. One of the things that we should clearly communicate in this broadcast is that you strongly believe what young earth creationists believe, and that is that the fall, Adam's fall into a life of perpetual sin terminated by death, is responsible for all evil. It is responsible for natural evil. It is responsible for moral evil. It is responsible for all evil.
All the evil in the world. I mean, you know, there's a question of, you know, well, you know, Satan and his fall, and but insofar as Adam is the crown of creation, that and when he sins, then he opens the door, the floodgate, as it were, for the consequences of that sin onto all of the material created order. Yeah, that's what I believe. So, and I think, and as I said earlier, the challenge, though, is if you're an old Earth creationist, you have Adam coming on the scene, you know, I'm not sure about the chronologies there, you know, but it could be tens of thousands of years or what have you. But the thing is, on an old Earth view, if we accept standard astrophysics and geological dating, the Earth and universe have been around for billions of years. And there's been animal life for much of that time, and I mean not for much, but certainly for hundreds of millions of years. And then, how do you account for all what you see in the fossil record with death, predation, sickness, all these sorts of things that are represented there? And you have, I mean, parasites, for instance. I mean, they seem just exquisitely designed to destroy and to create havoc and pain for their host organisms. And so how do you account for that? And I think what I found, I think part of what drove me to write this book was just a dissatisfaction with the old Earth view, which basically said, well, personal or moral evil, the evil that we commit against each other, that we can trace to the sin of Adam. But, you know, the animals hurting each other, well, that's just not morally significant because humans were not on the scene, and this accomplishes God's greater purposes. And I'm actually not caricaturing this too much. I mean, it's pretty much the position that's out there, and to me, it just seemed monstrous. I mean, this when we look at nature in the rough, I mean, there's a cruelty there, and it seemed to me that you can't just dismiss that and say, well, God's good and he created it that way, and it's really not that evil because humans aren't on the scene. That just seemed to me, it just didn't hold water.
So you are very concerned that we bite the bullet and we say that nature, red in tooth and claw, cannot be described as part of God's very good creation. Contrary to that, you see this as an example, a poignant, profound example of sin. And yet, how can, if Adam's sin takes place at a particular juncture, and that juncture in history precedes animal death, how can it be that animal death is accounted for by the sin of Adam and Eve?
Right. I mean, what you've got is, as it were, a backward causation going on there. Adam sins, and then all this evil seems to happen prior to that. But what makes this theodicy work is, if you will, a doctrine of divine anticipation. Unlike the open theists and process theists, traditional Christian theism holds that God knows the future and is able to anticipate. Not just knows it, but is able to act in ways that anticipate it. And I go through this pretty thoroughly in the book, where I'll cite Isaiah and just show how God has acted, even in Scripture, where he will act in ways which will anticipate future prayers or things that people do. So God is able to set up the circumstances in response to things that are yet to come. And what we have then really is what I describe as a retroactive view of the fall. God, if you will, allows evil, makes a world in which natural evil exists in anticipation of the sin of Adam that's yet to come. Now, that may sound kind of science fiction-y, but the thing is, as Christians, we do work with a doctrine of divine anticipation when we think of the salvation of Christ. What Christian thinks that Abraham or Moses or the Old Testament saints were saved in virtue of their own righteousness? You know, it's because of the righteousness of Christ at the cross, which is imputed to them. So we see the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection carrying not just forward into the future to save us, but also carrying into the past to save people in the past. In fact, there's a wonderful icon, Greek Orthodox icon, of the resurrection, showing Jesus bursting out of the tombs, but holding Adam and Eve and pulling them out. Insofar as Adam and Eve, if they're saved, you know, I'm not sure about the Orthodox doctrine there on this, but they will be saved because of Christ. You know, and that's Christians hold that all salvation for all of humanity, for as long as it has existed, is through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Well, if that applies to the past, well, what about so momentous a historical event? I mean, we think of, you know, the salvation of Christ at the cross as one of the key moments in history. Well, certainly the fall is also a key moment. Why should it not be able to reach into the past?
We're talking to William Dembski and the book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, is just an important work. You will absolutely be thrilled to read this book. It'll cause you to think. It'll prepare you. It'll equip you. It'll help you deal with what we all deal with, the problem of evil and suffering in this world. It'll help you explain it to a non-believer. It will also help you to be a witness in an age in which, quite frankly, the evolutionist is eating our lunch. Not because they have the evidence on their side, but we're not able to tell our story cogently. We'll be right back with your questions and William Dembski.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Because the summer can be such a dry time financially at the Christian Research Institute, your generosity this month will be especially meaningful. In return for your support, we'd like to help equip you with The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Until recently, every Christian accepted that natural evil was a result of the fall and our own sin. Then evolution undermined the confidence of multiplied millions. Science seemed to show that animals suffered and died long before the fall. But Dr. Dembski argues persuasively that for a God who exists outside of time, all evil, including natural evil, is the result of human sin, whether the earth is old or young. To donate, call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will continue after this. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today.
Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a person. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dr. Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Contact the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, on air today with William Dembski as we talk about his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. Bill, this weekend, I spent a lot of time on the internet, which is sort of a dangerous place to be, doing some research. And while I was doing that research, I was astounded to discover that evolutionists have pointed to the eye very specifically as an example of an ill-conceived design. This could not possibly have been a function of an intelligent designer. And while I was going through the internet, I saw page after page of information on why the eye is so ill-designed, the blind spot, the inverted retina. And I saw very little in terms of a cogent response to that particular question. And it seems to me that that's one of the issues by which we are having our lunch handed to us, that we're not able to respond in a way that makes sense in an age of scientific enlightenment. But yet, from your perspective, we have good answers to such questions.
Well, I think we do, although I'm not prepared to give up on the inverted retina. In fact, my colleagues have written on this topic, and they're good functional reasons for the design as it is. A visual system needs acuity, sensitivity, speed, and in fact, having the inverted retina, it turns out the retinal cells require the most oxygen of any cell there is. And so to have the blood and have it situated that way, actually, it makes good sense. The thing is, what you find often with the evolutionists, they'll find some system which previously people may have thought, gee, that really shows remarkable handiwork. And then they'll say, well, no, it doesn't really. And then they offer some sort of argument from imagination. We can imagine that it would actually be much better if we didn't have this reverse wiring. And it turns out, really, the blind spot doesn't seem to bother us. Our brain really makes pretty good sense of things. These arguments are out there, and they're arguments from imagination often, and I think they need to be taken down because the real challenge is if you're going to be an evolutionist, okay, show us how it could be designed better and then implement it. The thing is, these evolutionists, they're not engineers. It's enough for them simply to imagine a system, and that's really not good enough. Okay, so let me get off my hobby horse. But I think you're right. That inverted retina argument, it gets rehearsed and repeated over and over again. We have responded to it, but it seems that the evolutionists, they have just so much more funding and people working. So if you do an internet search, you're probably going to find much more on why the inverted retina is a bad design rather than a good design. Now, leaving that aside, it seems that, what do you do, though, when you deal with certain parasites? You look at a rabies virus. It seems very well designed to implode a mammalian nervous system. Why does something like that exist? Now that, I think, does raise some real questions. And there we have, the problem of natural evil really confronts us. What do we do with that? And it seems to me that the Christian view has always been that we ourselves, humanity, has brought this on themselves. The thing, though, is that doesn't, certainly doesn't ameliorate things, the existential problem of evil. If you're confronted with this, if you've been bitten by a rabid dog and you don't have Pasteur's, treatment for that, then what do you do? You confront it existentially. I think just when you think of it theologically, God has allowed this evil, and it's part of making us confront the gravity of our sin. And I'm not sure that we can ever give completely satisfactory answers where, after I utter a certain number of words, then somebody who is confronted with horrific evil will say, gee, I feel a lot better now that you've told me that. I don't think it works that way. But I think we still, as theologians, do need to come up with some sort of coherent answers to evil. And I think the traditional answer has always been that God allows evil because he's going to bring a greater good out of it in the end. And we as creatures created in the divine image, as free creatures, we do have to take responsibility for the things we do. That still raises a lot of problems. Why, Adam sinned, but here we are, we're suffering for it. But, we see this in every, in a family. A father does something, there's a case of abuse or something like that, and the children suffer. It happens. It seems that this is these sorts of covenantal relationships. This is a way that God structures the universe, and it's it can lead to great good, but it can lead also to great evil.
You're talking to William Dembski, and there are so many more questions I'd like to ask Bill. We'll have the opportunity to do so all this month on Tuesdays as we talk about his book, which really focuses in on finding a good God in an evil world. But we should take some calls for William Dembski. First up, a question for William Dembski from Robbie. He's listening in Maryland on WBCI. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice having you on the broadcast.
I got a question on Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was barren with no form of life. My question is, on the fourth day, God said that there be light. and there was light. And on the fourth day, God created the heavens, the sun, moon, and the stars. What was the fourth light?
Okay, so the question here, Bill, is a question that's asked so often.
Yeah.
It seems like on day one, the biblical text is telling us that there was evening and morning the first day. It sounds like a solar day, and yet on the fourth day, we have God creating the sun, moon, and stars. What gives?
Well, you know, and I think this is where it seems that some latitude in interpreting just what these days are is perhaps needed. I think young Earth creationists typically, I think, will take what might be called a phenomenological approach. Okay, there's morning and evening, but really there's maybe a cloud canopy or something, and we don't really see the sun and the moon and the stars until the fourth day. Okay, so you might make an argument from there. But, you know, I think even that's a bit of a stretch. Then you might say, well, there's a kind of a literary connection. Day one seems to correspond to day four. You've got the light created, and then day four you have the actual lights. Day two, I think you've got separation of waters, the sky above and the waters below. Well, day five, you've got the sea creatures are created which inhabit those waters, and then you've got the birds that populate the sky above. And then day three, I think you've got the vegetation and the dry land, and then day six you have the creatures that inhabit the dry land. So you might take a literary approach. The interpretation that I take in the end of Christianity is where I distinguish God's time and natural time. And I don't mean to just say that they're entirely separate. They're not. But I will read Genesis 1 as more God's time, what I call Kairos, and then Genesis 2 as Chronos, or more natural chronological time. But, you know, it's there's a question also. I mean, these may not even all be mutually exclusive, these interpretations. I think there's a lot there in the text, and there are things that, I mean, the observation that Robbie noted, I mean, this is something that Origen, the third century theologian, noted, and people probably before him noted it. That's the first instance that I can recall. But it's, you know, there are things in the scriptures that are puzzling, and we try to puzzle them out. And maybe that was also for a reason, that God gives us, you know, scripture where we have to use our heads and have to think, and maybe things become clearer over time.
Talking to William Dembski as we take your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, I call it a Copernican breakthrough. I think it's a very significant book. I want to put it in your hands. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eddie's next. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Eddie. You're on with William Dembski.
Hi. I'm a big fan, Hank, and I'm probably one, I'm going to guess, of many people who disagree with you and is on the evolutionist side and the non-believer side, who thinks that you're normally very well-reasoned, good to listen to, good guess, all that sort of thing. It is an argument. The stakes are high, and you're a good rep for that side. I don't think, in this case, that what just jumped into my mind as sort of backdraft evil is any more cogent than what Mr. Dembski, whose books I've read, is calling for from the other side. I think there are so many elements and what-ifs in there that it breaks his own, well, it breaks Occam's razor, but it breaks his own rule of wanting the evolutionist side, say, to provide the mechanism, you know, for the eye, the cell, whatever. Science is working on that, and the evolutionist side would say what you guys need to do is make some real, verifiable predictions.
I'm going to have to let William jump in here quickly, or we'll run out of time, unless you can summarize the question really quickly, Eddie.
I'm just saying that what he's proffering is no more cogent than a whole lot of things. Break Occam's razor, and I just think it's one more attempt to take a sometimes confusing document and make it a little more palatable or cogent, and it's not working for me, which is why I'm still on the other side.
Great.
Let me jump in. I think for one thing, with Occam's razor, I mean, the idea is it's a principle of parsimony or simplicity, but the problem with that is that you can go too simple. Einstein said everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And so I think we need to have a proper balance there. And it's not clear to me that we are the intelligent design community. It seems to me that's what you're speaking to, intelligent design versus evolution, not so much the topic of the book. So if that's the issue, well, it seems to me that intelligent design is addressing some things that the evolutionary community really has sidestepped and that we're not really violating Occam's razor. Now, when it comes to actual predictions or scientifically testable work, I would refer you to the Evolutionary Informatics Lab, which is, you can go to evoinfo.org, or the Biologic Institute, and that work is happening now. So it's small, the talent pool isn't very big at this point, I think in large part because there's not a lot of incentive to get into intelligent design. If you saw the movie Expelled, if you declare openly for intelligent design, your career is likely to have problems. And I don't think it was overstated in that movie. I could add lots of other cases. I know one professor, he signed the Descent from Darwin list, and he was told explicitly, you're not coming on the National Academy of Sciences, even though you're worthy, because you signed that list. So it seems that there's a lot of pressure to be disassociated with intelligent design in the scientific community.
We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but William Dembski will be with us again next Tuesday as we continue our discussion on his very significant book. Thanks for being on the broadcast, Bill.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I call it a Copernican breakthrough. I think this is one of the most important books that I'll put in the hands of listeners, and that's why I'm making it available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Do remember, it's a hardcover book. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, tomorrow we'll be right back with your regular questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Can't wait for tomorrow as we continue the broadcast by God's grace.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'd like to thank William Dembski for joining us today. If you appreciate the equipping answers you receive from the Christian Research Institute, will you please stand with us during the dry summer months with a donation to the ministry? As our way of saying thank you, we'll send you William Dembski's The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. To donate by phone, simply call 888-7000-CRI or by mail, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, the easiest way to give is by going to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has put together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal into three books designed to equip you with a Christian worldview and help you become an effective witness. The book entitled What is Truth teaches you to counter the sweet poison of relativism that seeks to destroy truth and the people of the God of truth. Whose Ethics, Whose Morals weighs the trend of moral relativism and the notion that right and wrong are simply a matter of opinion. And Islam, What You Must Know, not only presents a true picture of Muslims in our community, but also ways to reach them for Christ.
Order What is Truth, Whose Ethics, Whose Morals, and Islam What You Must Know for a special package price by contacting the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can order this package online at equip.org. That's equip.org.